May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. And one thing I really love about the Bible is how people are portrayed in it. They're real people. They're not made up people. It doesn't make them out to be superheroes or people who know just what's happening. No, the Bible doesn't do that. Other so-called holy books do that, but not the Bible. Nor does it depict them as people who have a perfect assurance of what they are to do. Joseph in our scripture today is one of those real people. He was hit by a brick, wasn't he? I mean, he was dumbfounded, bewildered when Mary announced to him that she was pregnant. Surely he was hurt by that news and understandably angry. Marriage in that day was a contract between families. It was often set before the woman had entered puberty. Joseph, much older than Mary, essentially bought her. He would eventually take her into his home when she was able to bear children. So put yourself in Joseph's place. When Mary came to him and announced that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and yet she was still a virgin. We can easily put words in Joseph's mouth. What? Are you crazy? Who is he? How could you do this to me? Why did you do this to us? The penalty for Mary could have been death by stoning. But that's not the kind of man Joseph was. He would bear his shame, he would bear the embarrassment and the disgrace and protect his unfaithful wife. According to the law, he could and he would divorce her quietly. He could break the contract that he assumed his unfaithful wife had already broken. But of course, God had other plans for Joseph and Mary and this special baby. In a dream, God, through an angel, reaffirmed Mary's story of how her pregnancy occurred. So Joseph arose, believing, did what the angel commanded him to do. He took her, Mary, into his home, was careful not to have sexual union with her until the birth of baby Jesus. It's a simple story, but for many today, it sounds more like a fairy tale, like fiction rather than true account. And so we're caught between what makes sense and what God says, what's recorded in the scripture. But you and I believe the word of God, don't we? We believe the word of God even when we can't rationalize what happened. We believe that this miraculous birth holds great meaning for the entire world and for us personally, each and every one of us. Now, the Bible presents this whole birth as an invasion. This tiny embryo can be likened to a beachhead made at Normandy. God came disguised into this world, truly human, truly divine. He came to save us and set us free. The world, you see, was in the grip of the evil one. It was a dark, violent place. Pretend gods who were nothing more than demons, by the way. People were under great delusion and oppression. People were physically enslaved. Slavery was a big deal before Christ came. In fact, the majority of the population in the Roman world was slaves. They were enslaved by their sins, whether they realized it or not, being led to their ultimate destiny, destruction. God's remnant, God's people, the Jews, were small in number, and they carried the faintest glimmer of light. As soon as Jesus was born, the evil one tried to wipe him out. His tool was the murderous Herod. King Herod. a King Herod who had murdered his own family out of jealousy, conspiracy, and all the rest. Herod massacred a whole slew of babies in Bethlehem, thinking he was eliminating a possible rival. He was always watching out for a possible rival. But Joseph, again directed by an angel, played his part. He escaped with his family to Egypt with Jesus in tow. So this time of the year, we need to mull over the Christmas story as we do every year, again and again. What's the message, especially today, of Joseph's life? What is the teaching that God would have us grasp? A divine conception. My oft-used illustration is that if you are drowning in the ocean, you are not going to be rescued or saved by another drowning person. You'll both go under, right? This is also true spiritually. One sinner cannot save another. I can't save you, you can't save me. We need a Savior, and we have a Savior, the sinless one. Jesus came into this world by the Holy Spirit impregnating Mary. Therefore, he was not subject to original sin. You know, a chief problem of many people today is that they're in bondage to sin, but they keep evading the truth about themselves. Another put it this way: do you feel burdened down by guilt? Have you started to realize that guilt may be unconfessed sin? Do you feel pain in your heart because there is a severed relationship and you yet have reconciliation? Do you feel helpless because you're held in the tenacious grip of debilitating addictions? Alcohol, drugs, gambling, sexual lust. Is your energy being drained because you live too close to moral compromise? Cheating in business, cheating on your spouse. Does your pride often put you in the position of thinking more highly about yourself than you ought to think, looking down on others? See, week after week we come here and we do what we really need to do. We confess our sins. We throw ourselves into repentance and seeking God's mercy and forgiveness. And what does he do? He grants it every time. He grants us forgiveness of our sins. This needs to be a steady diet for all of us. What grabs you about the Christmas story, especially concerning Joseph? What takes hold of you? I'll tell you what grabs me. Like Joseph, I have a relationship with God thanks to Jesus Christ. It's a personal relationship. Like Joseph, but maybe not as dramatic, I have faced times when I was left with only two options. One, trust God, or two, go my own way. Do what I think is best for me. You know, Joseph in this story really didn't know what was going on. Before long, he was running for his life with Mary and baby Jesus. Think of what he could have done instead. I mean, he could have left Mary and the baby Jesus and just split. And therefore, he wouldn't have had to face those threats that he was facing. He would not lose his livelihood. He would not have to run away from familiar territory. And he could have peace of mind. Seems like an easy decision when you think about it, right? Go where there's going to be peace. Mary has lied to me, right? But what did he do? He trusted God. He did what was right to do. He trusted God implicitly. All he had to go on was this dream. You know, we have a lot more to go on, don't we? We have the Word of God. And it does direct us in many, many ways. When you're lost and not knowing what to do, you know, just start reading the Word of God. And I find that I invariably get the answer that I need, which decision to make. I ask myself often, and I hope you would too, do I really trust God? Do I really trust Him? When I sense the Spirit leading me to do something or say something that could possibly cause me difficulties, do I do it? Do I say it? Will I be patient even though prayer after prayer seems to go unheeded? Do I care more about what God thinks, or do I go where the crowd is pushing me? I have this personal relationship with God. Oh Lord, lead me. I think of these things. I want to be like Joseph. I want to trust my relationship with God and with Jesus. I want it to grow. How about you? Is your relationship with God a personal one? Let me explain what I mean by that. Is it a personal one? Or do you just know the story? You come to church, it's information, it's facts. But for the most part, it doesn't have any personal impact because it's not a personal relationship. Christianity is about having a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. This is what grabs me about Joseph's story. But there's a second thing that grabs me. Is to be alert with the role that God wants me to play in life. Joseph's plans for his life were pretty straightforward. Do the carpentry business, marry a good Jewish woman, and have lots of children. I don't know, maybe you had this. What's your plans for your life? Well, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to get a good career. I'm going to make a lot of money. I'll marry someone, and I'll have a good life. I'll join a fitness club. I don't know, you know. You go out and you say, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? But then Joseph's life was turned upside down. He was to be a part of a much larger story. God had a role for him to play. You know, our lives have so many unexpected twists. Have you ever stopped to think that God may be handing you a role to play that you had never thought about? And it doesn't matter what age you are. Like Joseph, you too are in a larger story. The Holy Spirit is pulling you to embrace your role. You see that throughout the Bible, God placing people in circumstances and situations in which He reveals His role for them, roles they would have never thought of. Now you can resist it, you can settle for a dry, cynical life, or you can see yourself as emissaries of Jesus. Jesus has given you a role. By the way, I believe that's true for every Christian. Everybody has roles to play in the great and large story. There's a mystery in God's divine drama. Like Joseph, you and I probably don't see the whole picture. We're often not aware that how we fit into the role that we've been given and how it fits into the larger role of God's plan. But I am convinced that God speaks to us. I'm convinced that He is the director of the whole play, if you want to call it that, of life. And you have a place in it. It may be a big role, like Joseph's was a big role. He didn't know it. He had played a big role. It may be small roles. It may be whatever. The inn that Joseph and Mary ended up in, he had a role. He could have said no. But God meant for the innkeeper to say yes. And someday, the good and bad parts, yes, bad parts that we play in life will all make sense. All make sense. The question is, will you play your role? Will you be an emissary of Jesus Christ? For now, let's walk and live in faith. God loves us because of Jesus, and the Spirit is whispering to us. Be like Joseph. Trust God. Have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And be prepared to play your role in the great story we call the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful role to play. In His name and to His glory. Amen?
Amen.
Please rise.